Shalom Rabosai, today is Wednesday, January 22nd, and we are going to continue with, this is the second shiur on Perek Habona. Yesterday we started the Perek, the permission of Dafka Fez and the Bez, and we mentioned that Bona is unique in that it is Bekol Shehu. We also mentioned that it's a little bit unknown in terms of how much, one might wonder that I know that building a house is bona, but I don't know if necessarily building a wall or filling a hole or whatever other little things might be bona. And that's why, because of the unique, and also because there's no maise, there's no specified action that constitutes the malacha, as opposed to all the other malachas where there's a specific action. You do this maisa, that's a maisa hotza. You do that maisa, that's a maisa of tochein, grind. You do this maisa, that's a maisa of lighting a fire. Here, it could be many maisas. And with that, we explained why the Mishnah starts off with a question. Kama yivna? Meaning we don't have any prescribed action, so we don't sort of have any idea what the parameters are. So we open up with an open question. How much do you have to build? And that also explained the second problem that we have with the text of the Mishkan, with the text of the Mishnah, that is, why did the Mishnah separate the two parts, Bona with the other four malachos in this Mishnah? Because we said yesterday that the other four are specified actions. So you had to say those specified actions is a kol shehu. And the reason why he separated Bona is because Bona is non-specified. What's your suggestion? That's not correct, because Makkah B'Patish is in the second list, and Rashi says, look at the fourth fat line of Rashi. Makkah B'Patish, what does Rashi say? Gam hu vavos malacha. So Rashi, now you understand why Rashi had to say that. Because Makkah B'Patish is in the list with Misates and Kodeach and Ma'atzad, which are not avos, they're toldos. So Rashi had to tell you that Makkah B'Patish is an av. Great. Let's take this idea a step further. On the Marma Komos sheet, you saw the Gemara in Daf Tzadi Hei. Daf Tzadi Hei talked about making cheese. How do you say making cheese in Hebrew? Megabain. From the word gvi? Gvina. So megabain, the Gemara does not say, the Gemara says that it's megabain is chayv mishum bona. You saw that in the Marma Komos?
Yes.
That's the Gemara in Daf Tzadi Hei Amar Aleph. Now let's look at the Rambam together. The Rambam on Yomar Mekomos in the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos Perek Zayin Halacha Hey. I started with Hey, even though you don't need Hey, it's just because it gives you a nice perspective. We really need Halacha Vav. Who wants to read Halacha Hey? Yaniv?
I was doing my own thing.
Okay, Josh, you want to read Halacha Hey?
Atolda is an action that's similar to the av from any of the avot.
Any of these avot, right. Meaning it's not the same act, it's a similar act. It's a malach that's a similar act.
Ketzad, what's an example?
Of a tolda. Here he's just defined the word toldas.
Ametachek et hayeret ad me'ad v'bishugo. Someone who chops up vegetables very small to cook it. Because this is a tolda of techina.
What's tochein?
To grind.
Grinding. What do you grind? What do they grind in the Mishkan?
Wheat.
They grind wheat. That was one opinion for the bread. They ground wheat, meaning they ground wheat kernels into flour. But you remember we had another opinion who said that we don't include. Rashi says that we don't count the breaking of the bread as the construction of the Mishkan. Rather, what else had to be ground up?
The dyes.
Yeah, you had some like, I don't know, sort of the same way you make tea, ground up tea. You take some tea leaves and grind them up. They did the same thing with the dye leaves. They ground up whatever vegetable stuff or roots or leaves and ground it up into dyes. Fine, good. So that's the av malacha. What's a tolda of grinding?
Why do we care that it's done in the Mishkan?
Why does every malacha have to be done in the Mishkan?
No. You just said that specifically this of grinding tea leaves or whatever it is to make the dyes If it looks like tochen, shouldn't that be enough? That's tochen, whatever.
That is tochen. That is tochen.
So
correct.
We have one case in the Mishkan of tochen.
So this Rambam is adding that not only tochen of wheat or vegetable or whatever else that you're being tochen. What about dicing? Dicing means just cutting small pieces. When you put onions into you dice onions into like noodles. So you're little tiny bits of onion. That's not grinding. It's a very different. It's not even the same action. Grind. How do you grind? Chopping vegetables. That's this. That's the tolda of tochen. If they're very small, you're not supposed to. Oh. You're supposed to do a piece a little bit bigger.
Right. So since it's a
right.
Tolda,
so for example,
sometimes people making salad on Shabbos.
So there is a. So you're allowed to make salad, but if you make a very small Israeli salad, a very small Israeli garden salad, like chopped up. Tomatoes and cucumbers. So the halach is like this. Ideally, you should avoid it. There is a Rashba that says that if you do it samach l'seuda, immediately before the meal, that is permitted. So we don't, if you can, I mean, if people do it, they have the Rashba to rely upon. So we don't rely on the Rashba l'chatchila. We rely on two things. A, the Rashba. So we try to do it immediately before the meal. And B, we don't cut it so small.
Rabbi, it's so small, just a little bit bigger than usual.
We don't really know what so small is.
Rabbi,
when you go to the falafel stores, they give you the tiny slices of tomato with cucumbers, that's probably small.
But
cut them bigger than that. Chunks.
Rabbi,
as opposed
when you
to
grind something, it turns into like applesauce.
It grinds into powder.
A grinder is not a chopper. I mean, when you go and grind the apples, you get powdery, fine.
Right, right. So that's the av. And even though you're not making a powder, you're making small pieces. That's why it's a tolda. If it would be grinding to get a powder, that would be the av.
But generally, we.
So how small? So I don't know the answer.
That's what I'm just.
I don't know the answer. How small? Small. So whatever you think is small, do bigger than that. And do it before the meal, so you have the double combination.
Rabbi, just my question is, generally we don't look for source that was done in the Mishkan for totals. We look in case
right.
Matzah, that was a special case, whatever, Malacha Grua. But here, this is not a Malacha Grua. Why do we care that that specific tolda was done in the Mishkan?
No, there wasn't. Tochen was.
So this Rabbi is saying that there's Tochen, which is the Av, and then it has a tolda of Chotech, Mechatech, what's it says? Mechatech of Hayerek. That's the Tolda.
Right, we don't care if it was done in the Mishkan or not.
Mechatech was not done in the Mishkan, that's why it's not an Av.
Okay.
Only the Av was done in the Mishkan, and something that is similar but different, but similar, so that's a Tolda. The reason why I think this is so important is not just because the Rambam is defining for us what a Tolda is, but listen to how he explains what Tochen is, grinding up. Go ahead, Josh, finish the Rambam. Shatochein.
Shatochein lochir guf echad michilko.
No.
Try again. Shatochein lochir guf echad michalko the gufim harbe. Shatochein is whenever you take one unit and you chop it and you separate it into smaller units.
Many.
These many units.
The
kol ha'osedavar hadom elazeh, harezeh, toldat, tochech. And anyone who does something similar to this, it's considered a
meaning whenever you start off with a chunk, a body, and break it up into small pieces, that will be tochen.
Doesn't matter if it's food or if it's...
It's at least food. You're asking, does tochen apply even to non-food items? That's a good point. I'm not sure.
Oh, we said a clear example of the mud, right?
Of the...
Mud?
Mud?
You can't take it off your shoe because of
tochen. That's true. Yeah, that's true. Right, by mud on a shoe, we say it's tochen. Hold on, Jesse. Hold on a minute. Josh, I want you to read the next Rama because we're going to see something interesting.
So you take milk and put it into the stomach.
An animal. How do you make cheese?
You put into this.
There's an enzyme in the inner lining of a stomach called. Rennet, R-E-N-N-E-T.
You extract it and put it in the milk, right?
So there are different ways to do it. In the olden days, they didn't know how to extract rennet. They just knew that if you put milk in the stomach of an animal, there is something in it that will leave it there for, I don't know, a few hours or a day or two, whatever it is. And you come back a few days later, you'll have a block of cheese.
Was it that animal?
Yeah. Nowadays, we know that you can just take the rennet, the enzyme out of the stomachs of the cheese, and inject it into the milk, and you do the same thing. Nowadays, we have something even more modern, that they have microbial or synthetic rennet, or vegetable rennet, or something like that, that's not made out of meat, and they make cheese with other ways. Now you know why Gvina has a special halacha of Gvinas Yisrael, even those people do not drink Chalav Yisrael, what we call Chalav Yisrael. You still have to eat Gvinat Yisrael. So for example, Miller's cheese. Miller's cheese is a Jewish company. It's not Chalav Yisrael. But did you ever hear of a kosher cheese company that's not a kosher company?
No.
Why not? Because of a separate Issud Rabbanon of Gvinas Yisrael, separate and aside from Chalav Yisrael.
Could you take the milk?
But even if you take what we call non-Chalav Yisrael milk, it still has to be made by a Jewish person. Why? Because how do they make milk? How do they make cheese? By putting it in the stomach of an animal, you realize that... What?
It has to be a kosher animal.
It has to be a kosher animal, yeah. Okay, but that's...
No, wait, so up to a few years ago, that they didn't have the vegetable thing.
Right.
Jews couldn't eat cheese, right?
If it wasn't... No, you could eat it if it's from a kosher cow. Oh, you're asking about milk and meat?
Milk and meat, yeah.
I guess it's not the flavor of the meat is not doing it, it's just the rennet that's on the inside lining, which I guess is considered pariv. I'm not sure.
Okay,
so tell me a little bit about making cheese here. So if you put this milk inside the stomach, keva means the stomach.
Ve'im gavnu v'asau gavina, and if it became solid, if it solidified and it became cheese, chayav mishum bonin, who is obligated, because he did the Isra of Bonad.
And what is Bonad? This next line should be fundamental for the entire Perek, gentlemen. So focus carefully on the next few words of the Rambam.
Anyone who gathers a section to another section, and he combines it all together until it makes a unit, until it makes one unit, this is considered binyan.
Etc. And that's how it told us the avos work. So what is the av of bona? Taking different objects and joining them together. Great. Now let me ask you a funny question. Turn to Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, our favorite Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, and you're going to see something very cool. There are something that are called twin malachas or brother sister malachas.
Oh,
brother sister malachas are
opposites,
right? Kosev and mochek. Kosev writing and mochek erasing. You have, what's another brother sister malacha? What? We'll get to that afterwards.
Extinguishing and
lighting. Right, mechaba and mavi, right? Lighting a fire and extinguishing a fire. What else?
Sewing and separating.
Sewing and tearing, correct. What else?
Writing and erasing.
Writing and erasing. What else?
Planting and uprooting.
Planting and there's no uprooting.
Digging
is chofer, but that's part of the planting. There's another one or two.
Building and destroying.
Well, we have bona and soser, right? They sound like they're opposites, right? But wait a second. According to the Rambam, what's the opposite of bona?
Tochen.
Yeah. The Mishnah says, look at the Mishnah on Ayin Gimel, the first Second fat line on the bottom.
Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph.
Yeah. Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Second to last line. Habone v'hasoser. Hamechabe v'hamavir. It sounds from the mission that the two opposites are bona and soser. But the way the Rambam defines bona just means joining pieces together. And the way his phraseology when he explains tochin in the previous halacha is that tochin is taking one piece and breaking it into small pieces, that's tochein. Taking small pieces and putting them into a big piece is bona. It sounds from the Rambam that the opposite, the sister, brother, sister, is bona and tochein. That's just something to think about.
Why?
How did the Rambam explain tochein in the halacha hay?
Taking things and separating them.
How did the Rambam explain bona in halacha vav?
Taking things and separating them.
Right. Okay, I thought that was interesting. But what I want to really get from this is something that you wouldn't have realized on your own. Now, In that first Gemara, Daf Tzadi Hei, right before the Rambam, I just told you one line, that Megabin is Bona. Could you tell me how much milk you have to make into cheese in order to violate Megabin?
Size of a fig.
Size of a fig. Could you read me the words?
Yeah. You go Garrett.
Tan Rabbanan, Hacholev, HaMechabit, HaMegabin, whatever those other things are. Kigro Garrett. The size of a fig. Is there somebody who's good at math? I don't need math with numbers. I need math, a math kind of brain. A math
maybe
kind of brain.
Maybe.
So if you could start, you ready, Nathan and David? Megabin is making cheese. Right? And making cheese on Shabbos is a violation of
Bona.
How much cheese do you have to make to violate the prohibition of the Torah?
Any.
The Gemara says, Megabin is kigrogeris, the size of a fig. What's our question? If it's Bona, the Mishnah said, David, that Bona is?
Kosho.
We just asked the question.
On the Rambam. Not on the Rambam, on the Gemara.
On the Gemara itself, on Daf Tzadi Hei. The Gemara on Daf Tzadi Hei, on the Marma Kamas sheet says that Megabin is Kigrogeres. And two lines later on my Marma Kamas sheet, it says that Megabin is Chayav Mishum Bona. Wait a second. That's on Daf Ayin Hei. But if you turn Tzadi Hei, but if you turn seven pages later to our Gemara, on Kuf Beis, it says that Bona is Kulsha.
Ooh. Oh, it's a steer between Gemaras.
Yes, it's a steer between a Gemara and a Mishnah. Even worse. How could the Gemara say that Megabin is Grogeres? If it's Bona, which the Gemara says it is Bona, then our Mishnah says that all Bona is Bekol Shehu. I'll say the question again, and I want you to give me answers. The question is, the Gemara in Daf Tzadi Hei says that Megabe making cheese is Bona and is Grogeres, but our Mishnah says that Bona is Bekol Shehu. Who could give me an answer?
Because by food, it might need to have a Kigrogeres.
Great. Who else has an answer?
Wait, each thing that the Gemara and Kufays defines are all things that there's a significant act towards the completion of the process beginning with that act that it describes. So, like chiseling, and so for that type of
chiseling project, might not be the beginning of something. Chiseling might be the very last
thing. But it's a significant act in the building process. Whereas we would say with food, we would need that the smallest act that can be, or the smallest measurement that can be considered significant.
Are you saying the same thing as Josh?
Yeah.
You're saying that since it's food, therefore, in order to be significant, it's a different amount?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. David?
No, I mean, like, the minimum, it's kind of similar. The minimum, like, quantity to make cheese is gogeret.
So I can make less than a gogeret. I can make a half a gogeret. I can make a small piece of cheese. This paleo string cheese is less than a gogeret, let's say.
Paleo.
You're right, gentlemen. You're right. The answer is that all the malachas relating to food, including kotzer. What's kotzer?
Harvesting.
Including whatever the others. All the malachas that relate to food are all regarding, all have a shear of bone. All have a shear of grogeres.
And everything else that doesn't have to do with food is kosher.
Then it's going to be, if it's bona, it's going to be kosher. But let's understand it deeply, and this is the main point that I want to say right now. You remember yesterday we asked a question, why does the Mishnah open up with the quest? We asked the question, why does this Mishnah open up with a question? Habonah, kama yivne v'yehechayav. We sort of mentioned, but now we're going to say it a little more clearly, that the Gemara, the Mishnah has to ask as a question, because we know that when you build a building, that's bona. But we don't know, since there's no prescribed action that violates bona, it's any action that builds, we don't know how much of it constitutes bona.
Right.
So we had to ask, how much is bona to be chayev? But what are we talking about? When you build a building, I know this mission is saying, the mission is saying implicitly, quietly, silently, I know when you build a building from start to finish, that's bona. That's definitely chayev. But now the mission is asking, what happened when you built part of a building? How much of that part of the building, you know, if I just cemented one stone to another stone, is that bona? If I drilled a little hole, if I did this, if I did that, is that bona? How much is considered bona? So, what are we talking about in order for it, makes, for it to make sense that the Gemara, that the Mishnah has to ask, kama yivne shehe chayev, kama yivne v'yehe chayev? When it's building a building, and we know a whole building will be bona, but a little bit we don't know, so I have to say a kol shehu. But that's all assuming that we're talking about that you built a building. So when you built a building, then the Mishnah has to say that it's going to be bona is a kol shehu. Meaning the only time the Gemara asked its question was when we were talking about a thing like a building. We know that the sum total, the building, the binyan, is a violation of bona. And our question is, how much of that did you need to do to violate bona? But that all started because you're assuming that we're talking about a building. And then we could ask, how do I know that the Mishnah is talking about a building? Because the fact that the Mishnah asks, kama yivna, shows to me that I know if you do a whole thing, you're going to be chayav. The question is, how much of it will you have to do? So that only makes sense when you're assuming that, of course, I started with the whole building, of course, that's bona, but how much of it, how much of the process of the building? But if I have a different kind of bona, like bona of cheese, there, it's not a building. And I'm not going to ask, kama yivna shehe chayav. And there, it will have its own shear of whatever the food malachas have. Because the malachas of the foods will have a grogeris. The only time that the Mishnah had to ask how much building is going to be chayav for bona is when it's talking about a building. That I don't know how much of a building, there are so many tiny processes that make up a whole house. And again, there's no prescribed action, so I can't talk about any action. I'm talking about a result. I have cheese now. So how much cheese did I have to make? A grogeris. I have a building that had thousands and thousands. There might have been 400 workers to build this house. 400 different contractors. I had welders, I had plumbers, I had electricians, I had roof workers, I had, you know, diggers, I had concrete layers, I had all kinds of different kinds of people. Every one of them was involved in the binyan, but they all did different actions. Then I have to know how much of that is bona. The answer is kol shehu. But when is that only the case? Well, when did I have to ask the question of kama yivna? I only have to ask that question when it was
building.
A building. Because that's when I have an result, and I don't know how much of the end result, how much of the processes constituted bona. So by a building, I have to say kol shehu. I have to ask the question and say kol shehu. But I only have to ask it, but when it comes to other cases of binyan, I have food. So I look at food, and then we're just going to follow the regular shear of food. That is how we will explain the contradiction between cheese, which is food, and therefore it's going to have the regular rules of food, which is the grogeris, and bona, and our Mishnah, which is only talking about building of a house, there is going to be any part of building of a house will be.
It also answers why the Gemara had to use a question.
Correct. Yeah.
So why did they give us an example of making a hole?
Why did it or didn't it?
No, the Gemara brings an example of making a hole.
I don't have a good shot in the Gemara yet. Hopefully, when we get up to the Gemara, we'll figure it out.
It doesn't really give us an answer about the Gemara. The Mishnah asked it in a question.
No, he's talking about the first line of the Gemara.
I know, but I was talking about with Josh's stuff.
Yeah.
Because so we have to say that the Mishnah presupposed that you knew that there's a shear required for all of, malacha related to food.
The Mishnah presupposed that there's a shear required for every single malacha in the 39 malachas. Okay. And it also knows, as we'll see from elsewhere in this Masechta, which we actually, pages before, when it talked about carrying food, how much food do you have to, we skipped it, but when it talked about Hotzah, how much food do you have to carry to be chayev?
Kigogeris.
If it's a human food, it's kigogeris. If it's a food for a donkey, it's enough to make a donkey, you know, I don't know, a cheekful or enough to fill a donkey for, you know, have a donkey snack. If it's a camel, it's enough to have a camel, to be a camel snack.
Just kind of curious, whenever there's an isser that is kol, that the shear of that isser is kol shehu, does chatzi shear also apply or no?
What's a chatzi shear with kol shehu?
There is none, but
Kol shu means you don't have to talk about a chatz shir because anything is already the full shir. Because the shir is, you could. What's the pshat that a shir is a kol shu? Does that mean that there's no shir, or that means the shir is even the tiniest infinitesimal amount?
The shir
amount?
Is a chatz shir.
I don't know. It might be semantic. You have to find me an afkamino whether. No, there's a shir. The shir is any amount, or no, this malacha is. Doesn't have a shir.
But the only issue that applies, it could be the only issue that applies for bona is chatzi shir. That's what it means by kol shehu.
No, I don't want to get to, you know why I don't want to get into chatzi shir? Because if you remember from a few months ago, when we talked about chatzi shir, there were some nafkaminas if something's also because of chatzi shir, because of the malacha itself. We're not going to get into that. But it's clearly not going to be chatzi shir. Kol shehu means even the tiniest amount is the shir. That's the...
And the very last thing with regarding the Rambam, the explanations of Tochen and Bonet, everyone knows like he doesn't like give Makoros in the Mishnah Torah, but does he have a Mesora for the rationale that he's giving to say what the Iker of Bonet is and what the Iker of Tochen is, like explaining it in this way? Does he have like some Mesora? Is it like
I assume that he. After knowing all the Gemaras that he knew, he deduced that this is what he thinks is the main point of the Malacha is putting pieces together. That's Bona. Taking different pieces and joining them, unifying them, that's called Bona. Obviously, to build a thesis like that, you have to be a master of every single Gemara that relates to Bona. When you master every Gemara, then you could say, when are you able to give a rule? When you know the specifics, you could build a rule. So one of the challenges that we have is that a Mishnah sometimes gives us a rule, and we have to figure out how the Mishnah knew it, so we have to look at all the specifics. But the Mishnah already knew, meaning, so in the Rambam, it's not like the Rambam just had this rule. The Rambam looked at all the cases of Bona, and he figured out that that was the common denominator. Now we're left on the other side of the Rambam, with all these cases that we're going to learn over the next few weeks, I'm going to have to see how the Rambam understood all these cases, how they all fit into this definition of the Rambam. Okay. Now, we finished talking about the first line of the Mishnah, Baruch Hashem. We did a line today.
The Gemara? What
we didn't get to the Gemara yet. That's in 2 to 3 weeks.
Really?
No, I'm joking.
It's pretty complicated.
Believe me, the Gemara.
The words
are very difficult. I gave out this sheet. I don't know if you got on the.
Yeah, it wasn't enough.
Okay. There's
a guy in the table who knows everything.
Okay, so the reason why I gave you these words, the reason why some words I gave you some words, there's another hard word. Dekavata is a hard word.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't give you that word.
Now it's Israel. I didn't know it existed.
So, the reason why I gave you some words and not other words, I gave you the words that were words that don't appear anywhere else, that I don't care if you know or don't know, that you're never going to have to remember. I mean, you always have to remember everything. But these words are very unusual, and they're more like technical words, like the foot of a tripod to hold up a stove. You're not going to find that in so many Gemaras. So those words I gave you, a worm that eats in the wood, you don't have to know that word for too many other places. Dekavata is a word you're going to need for other Gemaras, so I wanted you to sweat over that. So that was why I didn't give you the kavata, but I did give you these other words. Okay, who saw the first Tosos?
The short one?
The short one.
Habone.
Yaniv, even if you didn't make it, I could think it could be the first Tosos for us.
Okay,
Tosos?
First
one, yeah.
Sarif nitan tam amai. Tani bone achar zrika vahotza. So we need to give a reason why we're teaching bone after zrika and vahotza.
Good. Turn the page. Everybody turn one page back from your Gemara. What's the name of the parak on top of the page?
Hazorik.
What do you think Hazorik talks about?
Just throw.
Throwing. Throwing in what context? Which malacha?
Hotzah.
Right. If you remember, we did mention last semester that Zrika is considered an Isadir, a Raisa, correct, of Hotzah. So, believe it or not, the previous few prakim, the topics of the Mishnayos at least, all relate to carrying. Hotzah is basically the first half of the Masechta, a big part of the first half of the Masechta, or at least the main topics of the Prakim, tell you how talk about carrion. Parts of it, not the whole thing. But so what is Tosis asking? We have to give a reason why we're teaching Bona after Hotza'ah and Zrika. What's Tosis really asking? I don't have... What?
Why are we learning it now?
What's, why the order?
What's,
why the order, yeah.
What's the other option?
Why the order?
What?
What they said?
Why the order?
Why, this why order? Are we learning in this order?
As opposed to, what would you suggest, Nathan? You have a better order?
The order of the Mishnah.
Yeah.
Order of which Mishnah?
The one from the...
Yeah, so let's look at Ayin Gimel. So let's turn to Ayin Gimel. And let's see.
To what? Ayin Gimel?
So what's the first malacha that we talked about in this Masechta?
You say Ayin Gimel?
73. Ayin Gimel. Ayin Gimel, 73. What's the first malacha talked about in this Masechta? What's the first malacha in the mission of Ayin Gimel? You see it, David? David?
Yeah.
What's the first two malachas?
Hazoreya
v'achoresh. Where's Hotza'ah?
Last one.
It's the last one. It's number 39. So, what's right before Hazoreya? I'm sorry. What's number 38? What's 36 and
37?
What do those mean, David?
To fire, to light a fire and distinguish it.
Good. What's 34 and 35? Okay, so we're not going in order and we're not going out of order. So what order are we going in? That's Tosa's question, right? Does anybody have an answer for Tosa's? Because you know we're not going to leave this.
Tosa's young.
You know we're not going to just leave this question and go on. We're going to have to give like 20 answers to this question, of course.
We're not going out of order?
We're not going in order, we're not going backwards in opposite. We're not going backwards, we're not going forwards. That's what I meant.
We're going all over the place.
Maybe the more...
And we know very well that these Mishnayos are written very carefully in terms of their order. Maybe. How do we know that?
The first
Tosis in the Masechta drove us crazy showing exactly why Hotza'ah should have been last, but it had to be first for any of four reasons.
The less obvious malacha will come first.
So why is Bona not so obvious? Building a building is pretty obvious.
Because there's no... Like, no, we're doing specific about Hotza'ah, there was no shear either.
Hotza'ah doesn't have a shear? Hotza'ah doesn't have a shear? Didn't we say 5 minutes ago that when you carry food items, there's a shear of a grogeris? When you carry food for something else?
But we said it wasn't so obvious malacha.
Yeah, so does that have to do with Bona?
So Bona also, it might have been
I'm listening.
Anything could be a building, even if you put two things together, so you might have not thought that it would be a malacha.
So you're saying we start with a malacha grua hotza, and then we have something that's almost a malacha grua. Bona is almost a malacha. I might not think that this is a violation. Comes this Mishnah, tell me. Finish the sentence.
Even a kol shugua of Bona is a violation. I don't know, I can't explain it, I just feel it.
Okay.
It's very simple.
Yeah, I mean, whatever's happening with Hotza'ah, like people would make the mistake to do it because they don't know what is it exactly. They would think that building a building is forbidden, but not building, putting two things together.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying Hotza'ah, I would never have known because it's a malach, the other pshat malach go that I won't even realize that there's something wrong. I'm not changing the orzarua. Who said that Hotza'ah is a malacha grua because you're not changing the chayfetz.
Right.
You're just moving it from here to there. You're not changing the chayfetz. But Bona, similarly,
you don't know when is a malacha and when not. Maybe you would think, as we thought, that you have to build a building.
You have to build the whole house. Therefore, it has to tell you, even though it's something that you might not think is us, or it's only a little bit. Fair. Any other suggestions?
What's the question again?
The question is Tosis's question.
Why? Okay.
Why does Bona come here? On the tails of Hotza'ah. So, Alex, what did the Tosis Yontif say? Let's look at the...
Is it
tam amai tanya bone achar zricha gotza
ad kan
l'shona. So it was asking Tosfos, there must be a reason.
Before reading it, without reading it, could you tell me what he, do you remember what he said?
He explained that for the talk of a passage that if you're working in reverse order, you would go in that direction. But first, you need to know that bone is in a lab before you know the makabe patish.
What's makabe patish? The end of the building. So you have to know there's something called building, and then you could discuss makabe patish. Makabe patish is number.
It's number 38.
38. So how do you go? If we're starting with 39, so the next one should be 38.
38.
Makabe patish, which is in this Mishnah, and but before you even know makabe patish, you have to have a what kind of. Introduction to makabe patish do you have to know?
Bone.
That there's bone. So therefore, we really are going in order. We're going in the backwards order. We're starting from the last and going to the front. 39 is hatzah. 38 is makabe. Wait, let me just tell you that you can't build. Now you can understand 38 is makabe patish.
But what about lighting the fire and extinguishing
it? So you think that should be next, right?
I mean, yeah, they're skipping them.
You're right. That's going to be a problem on this pshat. Because the next one is going to be lighting a fire and extinguishing. And if you look in our Mishnayos, what's the next malacha after this Mishnah, which talks about building and makabe patish, all the others, drilling and banging, those are all toldos of either bona or makabe patish. What's the next Mishnah, daf kuf gimel amud aleph? Everyone look on kuf gimel amud aleph, the next page. Dad? Next amud?
Achoresh.
So we skipped lighting fires and extinguishing. And some more, maybe. So that wasn't such a satisfactory answer. Now, I want to do the Tosa, the Piskei Rid. Did anybody see it? It was very long. I don't think you saw it, and I didn't care if you didn't see it. But he does something that's very incredible.
What is the Piskei Rid?
The Rid is Rabbi Yeshaya.
Rav.
D. Trani. That means he's from a city called? Trani.
Where?
Trani. What?
Tehran.
I'm not, probably not. I hear what you're saying. It's probably like French. I'll tell you why I don't think it's Tehran, because I think he's Ashkenazi. Tehran would be.
Ashkenazi?
I think it's an Ashkenazi Rishon. Meaning Rashi and Tosfot and the Rush were Ashkenaz. And the Rush was a little complicated. And the Rif and the Rambam and the Rashba were Sfarad. Maybe not, I don't know. I mean, the cities of Iran were around before all the Ashkenazim. I mean, the Persians had been there.
I don't think they were called.
I don't know if Tehran was there. How old is Tehran? That's your grandfather. Okay, tell me, your rabbi needs to know how long the city of Tehran was around. Okay? I'm sure your grandfather knows lots about how long his family's been in which city. They're into that, the Persians. Okay.
You know Mashali?
No.
Oh, really?
Tehran.
Wow. Changed my whole life.
You can talk to him now.
Now we can be friends.
Okay, so the Rid, what he does is he says one very important thing. We are not talking about how to do malachas in the rest of these Mishnayos. What is this Mishnah? Look at the words of this Mishnah. Is this Mishnah saying how to do bona?
No.
What is this Mishnah teaching us about bona?
The quantity.
Thank you, the quantity. How, could you say that in the Hebrew word? The shir. Look at your Piskei Rid, please, in your source sheets. Look at the first line of your source sheets. Read me the first line, Nathan. First few words of the Piskei Rid. Thank you. All the shiurei hamalachos, all the quantities of the malachos, the Mitana is arranging for us going forward, lachar mikan, from here and on. Now, what is the order for the shiurim? So, we start with, okay, Hotzah we started with. Why would Hotzah be the first? second.
Because there is no shear for it. Oh, there is.
Well, we know that it's the 39th, so we started with the 39th. Right after we know all the malachas, we start with them. And the previous Mishnah, the previous Prakim, did tell us the shear of Hotzah. What's next? In terms of the shear? Hold on. I'm just, I lost my place. What's next? Then he talked about Bona, Maka, Bepatish, which are, you know, together. What did he leave out? What was the question that Alex asked before? Mechava and Mavir. Right? That's what he asked. What about, meaning what's 30, everyone look at the Ayin Gimel. What's 37, what's 36 and 37?
One is,
no?
Extinguishing and
fire. Right. Extinguishing, you could only, if you want to put one piece of paper on the Ayin Gimel. Says the Rid in the second paragraph on my sheets. You know why he skipped Mechab and Mavir? Because what is the Tana trying to do? He's trying to do one thing, to tell us quantities. What's the quantity of fire that you violate? What? Yeah, you know, it's not even the word kol shehu. It's just the action. I mean, a kol shehu is a certain amount of building. I could have a little building, a lot of building. When I make a fire, it's not how much. There's no quantitative aspect to it at all. It's not even a kol shehu. It's just not subject to the laws. It's not subject to a shear.
But didn't we say?
And same thing with extinguishing. I have a fire, and now it's out. I don't care if that was a glowing spark. I don't care if it was a building that was on fire. I don't care if it was a Havdalah candle. The point is that there was something that was lit that's now out. So that's why it's not subject to shear. But that's why I didn't have to say kol shehu. I don't have to give a shear. I don't have to have a mishnah tell me about it. And that's why it's not going to be in this list. Well, okay, let's go back to Ayin Gimel. What comes, if we're going backwards in order, so I started with Hatzah, then I had Makav Patish with Bona. What else is there? Mechav and Mavir, we just explained. What comes before Mechav and Mavir?
Ayin Gimel.
What comes with, what's right before lighting a fire and extinguishing a fire? Nathan. Looking on Daf Ayin Gimel, you don't have to know them by heart. Daf Ayin Gimel.
Habona
va'soter. Habona va'soter. Well, bona, that's us, and soter is just the inverse. Soter is dismantling. So whatever you're chayef for putting together. So I know what I said before is that tochein is really the opposite, but that's just our diuk in the Rambam. But simply put, that whatever you build, if you take that apart, that's soter. So that's included in the Mishnah of Habonis Kol Shehu. So Soter is also
only if you take apart something that was built on Shabbat.
No. It doesn't have to be built on Shabbat, but anything that you would be violate Bona by building on Shabbat,
so
you would violate Soter by taking it apart. Yeah, it would also be a Kol Shehu. What's before that? Oh, Ketiva. That's great, because where's Ketiva? Where's Ketiva?
Next parak.
Not next parak.
Next Mishnah.
Next Mishnah. Look on Daf Kif Gimel Amud Aleph.
Right.
Down.
It's the one after.
Right. So then why is Choresh in here?
It's Choresh, Mashach, Shear.
Say it better. Yes, you're right. Yeah, beautiful.
Choresh. Must have a shear.
Look at the first line of the Mishnah of HaChoresh. Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph. What's the shear of HaChoresh? How much Choresh do you have to do? We're only talking, Tana ordered these Mishnayos to talk about the quantities necessary to violate. The shiurim. Hotzah, we discussed. Bone is kol shehu. Part of bone is makav patish.
No.
Hotzah has a shear, which the Mishnayos talked about earlier. We skipped.
So is it going from bigger shear to smaller shear?
No.
So I had
it to just go. Happens to be, because we're going backwards in the list. The list was 39, we started with the 39th. That's all.
Right.
The next one is Makav Patish. Makav Patish and Bona are connected. They're sort of the same thing. Mechave and Mavir don't have to be mentioned at all in terms of their shear, because they're not subject to quantities.
Anything you extinguish or light?
Yeah.
You said you need to have three twigs or something. light?
That was for carrying wood.
Oh.
How much do you have to carry in order to violate carrying? Well, when it's wood, it's the minimum amount of wood. That's purposeful.
If you light anything behind.
If you flick a match, if you flick a lighter, if you take a flint and bang
just
it on
spark,
and make a spark, that's mafia.
But didn't we say yesterday that it had to be enough to cook something?
That's how much wood you have to carry
to violate carrying. So what's the minimal amount of wood that's a useful amount of wood? What do you use wood for? Make fires. How much is the smallest significant fire you can make? The smallest purposeful fire?
For
enough wood to soft boil an egg.
Well, now it's a cigarette.
Okay. To light a cigarette. Okay, fine. Okay. So why is Choresh in between Bone and Kosev? Why did Choresh get stuffed in here?
Because it's the same quantity as
The same quantity as Bone.
What does the Mishnah say, Doug? How much is Choresh to violate Choresh? Kuf Gimel Aleph?
Kosher.
Exactly.
So the Gemara is really going backwards.
It is going backwards, yeah. And therefore, Choresh is out of order. You know why? Because Choresh, once we mentioned Bona, which is Kol Shehu, what's the only other one that's Kol Shehu? Choresh. And now back to the order. Kosev is next. This is all the Piskei Harid. And
Shtar.
Then, I'm not going to go through the rest because it's going to be too confusing to compare, turn every page in the Mesechta and go back to the Mishnah Dafayin Gilon. You'll see how he explains why everything is either not in the order, or yes in the order, because of this idea that he's saying that we're now going in the order of the quantities necessary.
But Hotzah's not even in
that. Hotzah was first, no.
So that's why
it told me how much Hotzah is. You and I skipped 11 prakim since last semester. I don't know what you were doing during intercession, but I had to get from Daf Gimel to Daf Kavbezim and Beis. Right? So in there, I assume you did the same. It talks about all the different amounts that you need for Hotzah, to violate Hotzah. Right? Okay. So that is the second answer to Tosa's question. The first answer that we had was that the question is why is Bona coming off Hotzah? So the Tosa's Yantiv said that it's similar to that it's going backwards. We said that wasn't enough. Now we explained that
Tosa's Yantiv said we're going backwards?
I think, you have it in front of you.
I didn't look there either.
So, as Yonza said, that we're going backwards. We're starting with Hotzah. And after we talk about Hotzah, we have to go to Makkah B'Patish, which is backwards, and Bona is like connected to Makkah B'Patish. But we had a problem, because what about the others? So for that, we went to the Piskei Rid, who told us that we're talking specifically about Shiurim, and then showed us how the order for a few more of them. Okay? Now, we're going to go. I want to offer very quickly.
Sorry, Rabbi, the Tosfos Yontif and the Rid are similar.
The Piskei Rid
explaining
adds on to what the Tosfos Yontif started. Yeah. Somewhat similar. I want to offer a few more answers to Tosfos' question of why the Perek starts with a Mishnah. Starts with Bona. I'm sorry, why Bona comes right after carrying. Can everybody turn one page back? Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. Read the Mishnah on top. Skim it with your eyes, and you might. I don't know if we got to the last semester. No, with my Mechina Shir, I did. I don't think I did it with you.
Do you have more advanced?
100%. Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. It talks there on the bottom, in the Mishnah. The Mishnah on top of the page. Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. Zeh HaKlal. In the middle of the Mishnah. Zeh HaKlal. Kol Chayv Chataot. Whenever you Chayv Korban Chatat. Enon Chayav. I'm on Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah. About four lines down. Last word on the line. Zeh HaKlal. Fourth line on the page.
No, that's entirely. Last word is Zeh.
Zeh.
Okay, got it.
Zeh klal kol chayav echatot any chay chiyuv chatat enan chayaven ad shtei tchilatan v'sofan shgaga. I have to be shogeg from beginning to end. But what happens if I am shogeg when I start it and then I remember and then I finish it b'shogeg? Then I don't bring korban chatas. Okay? So let's say I did an Akira by mistake. Then I remembered it's Shabbos. And then I did a Hanacha by mistake. So I did the Akira by mistake and the Hanacha by mistake.
The whole action was rushed.
Will I be chayav a korban chatas? No, because there has to be shogeg mitchilatan v'ad sofan, from beginning to end. What?
Has to be
in order to bring korban chatas, it has to be b'shogeg, right? Korban chatas is b'shogeg. When do I bring a korban chatas? When I violate Shabbos b'shogeg. My mistake.
No, but yeah, but you're doing b'meis.
You're talking about
that. I'm not talking about, right, here we're talking about a korban chatas.
Okay, yeah.
Here we're talking about a korban chatas. I only bring a korban chatas if I did it by mistake from beginning to end. But if I realize in the middle, then I'm not chayav. Now I have a thinking question for you, gentlemen. That was the last Mishnah. And Perek HaBonis starts right after that. Why would you think, and this is a thinking question, right after that Mishnah, why does it make sense to write our Mishnah? Again, the previous Mishnah said that in order to violate, in order to be a Korban Chatas, you have to be Shogeg from beginning to end. The next Mishnah comes Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and says, let me teach you, Bona. Why? Why does it go in perfect order?
Because over here is a very possible case for you to start it by accident and end it by accident.
Explain.
You might start something by accident.
All malachas, I could do that.
No, why don't you? Has two steps.
Yeah.
So you can do one by accident and the other one.
Okay, so why Bona? Why Bona out of all the 38 other malachas to talk about? Why Bona?
Because Bona, when you start the malacha, you finish it average 8 hours later.
So you're saying Bona is normally really long. So Bona, like.
Oh, I remembered again.
So you're saying Bona could be the longest malacha, possibly.
Yeah.
It's the biggest.
I would argue that Bona could be the shortest malacha.
No, it could be many things. I'm saying the
normal violation of Bona takes 8 hours?
No, not yet. I'm making stuff up. I'm saying, like,
make it take 3 months?
Whatever. Even to build a toy.
But those are like a million violations.
But that's not the bone of the toy. That's not the bone of halacha. Reuven, that's not the bone of. What's the bone of halacha? The bone, according to the halacha on Shabbos, is what?
Taking two things and putting them together.
A kosher.
So it means if you actually build something, as Ruben was saying, that you could violate like 1,000.
100%. If you build a house, you might have violated 1,000 bonus.
I just think that it's really easy to violate.
Why?
Because I can, okay, I can put something down and I just construct it.
We have to make it a little bit more permanent, maybe a little bit more solidified.
It's
yeah,
really easy to do.
Yeah, it's very easy to do. So what does that have to do with the previous Mishnah?
So you need to know that you're not gonna, that you don't have to bring a korban if you do something.
This is the easiest step to do.
I don't understand.
The previous
Mishnah told us a rule that in order to bring a korban chatas, you only bring a korban chatas if you violated the Avera b'shogeg from beginning all the way from beginning to end, but you didn't realize in the middle.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Nathan, you have a Teretz? Why does Bona come after it? Let me ask you a question to help with this. What's the topic of our Mishnah besides the word Bona? No, besides the word Bona Makar Padash. What's the halacha that this Mishnah teaches us?
Shear for Bona.
The shear. What's the shear?
A kosher.
So now let's think about that. Bona, of all the malachas, the shears of kosher, we saw the only Bona and Makabipatish and Hachoresh, actually. Those are the only ones in the whole Torah, and all of the 39 that are with kosher.
So it's the easiest to do.
How does that fit in with the previous Mishnah? The previous Mishnah says that when you kaiv a kramachatas, when you're v'shogeg from beginning to end... Exactly what you're saying, Nathan, even a tiny bit more. It's not just...
The beginning is the end.
Yeah! These are the only two malachos where you're always going to be chayav a korban chatas because, beautifully said, the beginning is the end. The time, whatever you did was a violation of the Torah. So the previous Mishnah finishes off saying, beautiful flow now. In order for me to bring a korban chatas, I have to do it. I have to be shogeg from beginning to end. And then the Mishnah tells me, well, What's the one exception? In fact, the two exceptions, the three exceptions, Bona, Makom Patish, and Achoresh, are three exceptions because they are Bekol Shu. So right after you tell me something that has a beginning and an end, I have to tell you, wait a second, buddy. There are a bunch of Malachas, Bona, Makom Patish, and Achoresh, that are Bekol Shu, where the Chilatan is the Sofon. And therefore, you'll always have to be a Kavanah Chatas because it was one act, one violation, just like that.
This was a general question on with the order of the Mishnahs in the Masechet Shabbos.
Well, it was specific. Until now, it was all Hutzah. So all of a sudden, for the first time in this Masechet, after 100 pages, we switched from Hutzah to another Malach.
Talks to about Hutzah now?
The beginnings of the Prakim are primarily... Again, we talked about the first few problems. The first perek was, Hotzah, then it was, the second perek was getting ready for Shabbos, and then it talked about, when it talked about the shiur of the malachas, then it was talking about Hotzah, what's the shiur of Hotzah for the past few problems.
Really? So boring.
That's why we skipped 100 pages on the vacation. I had a boring vacation, David. You're in Israel, I had a boring vacation.
Have you made the difference between the end of the Kugyat Hotzah to the 12th
parak? Sorry?
Did you learn from the end of the
Hotzah
to the
12th parak?
No.
Oh,
really?
No,
that was a joke.
Oh.
But
you learned before.
You're also Yad and Yad.
No, I was preparing Shir for... I was preparing this. Okay. So I thought that was a beautiful... That's an answer offered by a sefer called Meleches Shlomo. Lecha Shlomo says the reason, the answer to Tosa's question is why is Bona right after Hotzah? Because the last halacha and the last mission right before this was telling you that you have to, that you only chayv with Korban Chatas if you're shogi from beginning to end. Right after that, I have to tell you that there are three exceptions to anything that's Bekol Shu, which is Bona, Makom Patish, and Achoresh, which are the next three Mishnayos, next, whatever, two Mishnayos.
Last Machmor was a Klal, and these
are the three exceptions. Or you don't even have to call it an exception. You could say that these three cases, always have to bring a Korban Chatas, because you always have Tchilasan, Visofan, Bishogei, because the Tchilasan, as Josh said, is the Sofan.
Can you apply this methodology throughout Shas, throughout Mishnah?
There is always a flow. What is that flow? No. No. There's always a flow. What is that flow? It could be different in different places. I mean, why do you...
I'm talking... Right, I know there's always a flow and you can explain it so differently, but with regards to the Mishnah stating a klal or a klal gadol...
I don't know. If it would have been a Rishon, is this an Achron who said that I would... I'm nervous to say that I don't know the reputability of this author, Meleches Shlomo. And I don't know if it depends how big...
Right, it's just a good shot in and of itself.
It's a beautiful shot, yeah, beautiful shot. Okay.
No.
Hold on 1 second, Nathan.
So you're only chayav if you're v'shogeg on the beginning of the
Mishnah? That was the previous Mishnah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Nathan, question.
We don't think that according to this opinion that the reason why this comes fast is because the beginning and ending is the same.
Correct.
So when that
only by these malachas. These are the only malachas that have a kol shu.
So only when it comes to kol shu's.
Only by kol, these are the only malachas that have a kol shu, and only by kol shu's are the beginning and the end the same thing. Because when is the beginning the end? When the malacha was a kol shu. Any amount is the malachas. That means I started that itself, also finished.
So it's more the kol shu than the actual beginning and ending at the same time.
Well, beginning and ending at the same time is what happens when I have a malacha that's violated, the kol shu.
So what about laying a flame? The beginning and ending is at the same time, but it's not kol shu. So is it mainly on the kol shu or is it mainly on the bishul?
You're making a good point. I'm not sure how to answer you. You're making a good point. I was hoping you wouldn't dance with it. That's not. Okay. Now, let's get a little bit more involved. And what's going to be fun about this is you're going to see that your whole Torah world is going to start coming together. What was the biggest sugya last semester?
So?
Well, we learned Hatzal last semester. What was the biggest sugya? Malacha Grua. Malacha Grua was the biggest sugya. Now, what's Malacha? Which of the 39 Malachas is Malacha Grua?
Hotzah.
Hotzah is Malacha Grua. Correct. That's why it's last also. Yeah, maybe that's why it's 39. Great. Now, I have a question for you, my friends. We're not going to talk about... It is a little bit complicated, but who saw the Gemara?
Me and David. David and I.
The Gemara does something a little bit funny which bothers me. And maybe we'll talk about it when we get to the Gemara more in depth. But when you saw the Gemara, you saw that the Gemara did something. It said, where do we find the Kol Shehu when you build? So it told me a story. A guy, a poor person, who wants to hide his...
Coins
in the ground. He digs a little hole in the ground. And then what did the Gemara say? And where do we find this in the Mishkan? Udikavatal Gabi Mishkan. The sewers of the curtains hid their needles in the ground.
But there are different reasons.
And then the Gemara said, nah, that can't be, because no one would hide needles in the ground, because it would get...
Lost.
It would get rusty, thank you.
Right.
And therefore, what's a kol shehu of a boneh? Must be when somebody... puts the foot of a tripod to build a tiny little stove.
It's when they put it on or when they built it?
When they put three pieces of something together to hold a little kettle on top of it. It's the smallest clue you can imagine.
The tripod.
It's not like, don't think about the tripod. Yeah. Think of three little sticks.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that.
You know, so I could sit a little kettle on top of it.
Right.
Okay, so putting one of the sticks there and, you know, connecting the other three, two sticks. Okay, and that can't be, and just like that was done in the Mishkan, by the way, when they didn't have enough, when they didn't have enough dye. And they had to boil up a small amount of dye, and then that can't be either because... So each of these examples was showing how I have a case of bone, and then how I have, where I find that amount in the Mishkan. Can I ask you a question? How much food? You'll see where I'm going, and give me 30 seconds to talk, and then you'll understand where I'm going. How much food do you have to carry to violate... Shabbos,
Franzah.
Why?
Because it's a
because that's how much they carried in the Mishkan. Yes or no?
I don't know. No.
Why, Tom? Why, Aniv?
They would carry more than that, but it was because that's the what a poor man.
Because that's
significant.
That's a significant amount of food. And how much wood do you have to carry to violate Hotzah?
Enough to make a...
Why? Because that's how much wood they carried in the Mishkan?
No, because it's significant.
Rather, because that's a significant amount of wood. So if I ask you about a bona, how much bona do you have to do to violate? What should you tell me? Whatever significant amount is. Why over here is this crazy Gemara saying three different times, and where do I find this in the Mishkan?
Because
I don't need to find it in the Mishkan.
So when there's no Hashivas, the only thing you have to do is relate it to the Mishkan. Because that's the shoresh of all the Malachot. When there's no Hashivas on which to attach a Shir, when the Shir is Kol Shehu, the only way you can understand, you can conceptualize what Kol Shehu is through the actions that were done in the Mishkan.
You're saying independently, I would never think that a tiny bit would be significant, and therefore I have to find source in the Mishkan to make it significant.
Yeah, because Kol Shehu doesn't have any chashivas, but once you assign chashivas to Kol Shehu, it additionally has to be...
Where do we find in our travels over the past 6 months together on this boat of Yam HaTalmud, where have we found on our travels... that you need to find the source of the Mishkan in order for something to be considered a malacha.
Sure.
Meaning, when it's a malacha grua.
What?
Yeah.
When it's a malacha grua, that's when you need to find that this was the exact way that it was done in the Mishkan. The general, that which something was a malacha, okay, that we know it's from the Mishkan. But in terms of that it was done this amount, only by malacha gruas do you have to tell me that. Right? Oh my gosh, what did we just come out with? Bona is a wannabe, almost a sort of, a little bit of a, maybe only because of the fact that it's a kol shehu. Maybe in itself as a malacha is of course not. This is the greatest malacha chashuva because you're building a building.
We studied like five Rishonim. But they find what is a malacha grua, nobody said anything.
You're right, this isn't real malacha grua. But I'm saying the very fact that the Gemara here three times has to show a time and again and again and again that we do this in the Mishkan. You see at least one point. maybe not that bona is a malacha grua, but you see that the fact that bona is a kol shehu shows that there's something, and we need to find a source in the Mishkan, that there's something, I don't know, makes smells of a little bit of, I won't call it a malacha grua, chas v'shalom. Bona is not a malacha grua. You make a big change in an item, and it's significant.
Is there anyone in Shas or any other Rishonim that specifically restrict the concept of malacha grua to Otsa?
I think all of them.
Is there any statement that says, all of them?
We only saw malacha grua by Otsa. We didn't see it anywhere else.
Oh, so it's only where we see it, but there's no restriction that says...
I mean, they're all explaining why Hotza would be a malacha grua. Wherever we saw malacha grua, it's always for Hotza, nowhere else.
Don't call it a malacha grua.
Except for Rabbi Orlean's class right this second.
What?
Except for Rabbi Orlean's class right this second. Rabbi Orlean is saying that that vinyan, by virtue of the fact that the Gemara has to ask where is it in the Mishkan, and not just what's a significant vinyan. Just like by all the other malachas, what's the shear of significance? Whatever people find significant. Except for Bona, here we have to ask where is in the Mishkan. It shows that there's something about, not Bona as a malacha, but the shear of a kol shehu, maybe Bona is a super malacha. It's the opposite of malacha. It's a malacha, super malacha. And that's why even a tiny amount could violate it, perhaps. But the very fact that it is ultimately a kol shehu shows that it's, and I need to find in the Mishkan, it's somewhat related to Malacha Grua. So it's sort of an almost wannabe Malacha, pseudo Malacha Grua. So where should I put this Mishnah of Bona? Telling me that it's a kol shehu? Oh, right after Hotza. Bang.
Bye-bye.
Answering Tosis's question.
But
yeah,
I
stop with this.
Was really asking about
the...
Was asking not on...